Blog Talk Radio.
Because it was evident to them that
popularity of Jesus. And this particular sign, which had to do with the bringing back of Lazarus, was it. And so from there, the malevolent agenda was set. But here in Matthew, Jesus talks about this spiritual hypocrisy. He says in verse 3, you know how to read the sky, but you don't know how to read the times. That is, what is going on in your midst presence. And this was self-imposed spiritual blindness, because they had refused to look at the public ministry of Jesus for what it truly was, and that it was a fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah. It was a fulfillment of the messianic scriptures from the Old Testament. But Isaiah records that Jesus would be a root out of parched ground. Or, listen, he would be a tender shoot out of parched ground. Speaking of the spiritual condition that would be going on during the public ministry of Jesus. When the New Testament opens, God's people are not free. But yet, when they want to confront Jesus, they say that we have never been anyone's slave. And so we see the classic denial. They deny that they were in bondage. And here is Jesus standing with God's people, and they're trying to have this debate with him about the fact that they are not in bondage. And here they are under Roman rule. Palestine is under Roman rule. God's people are not free. But here you see the ability of persons in bondage to trick themselves into believing that they are really not in bondage. And this is spiritual blindness, the inability to discern one's true condition. And Jesus said this was a spiritual block, the yellow sea, and that the people in mass, including their leaders, were blind. Much like, for instance, we read about the same blindness in Isaiah chapter 1. And toward the end of Isaiah, it talks about the same thing, the blindness of the people of God, the blindness of the leaders who were involved in drinking wine and beer, and so they were alcoholics. And after they would become drunk, they would want to talk about illusions, as it were, that they were having. So then Jesus in verse 4 said, this wicked and spiritually adulterous generation. Jeremiah talks a lot about this. In fact, the book of Jeremiah is about the pathological, it's about pathological narcissism and with regard to the people of God. A large portion of the Ezekiel document addresses the same situation. It is very frightening to read. And these individuals, that is the Pharisees and Sadducees, I continue that legacy. There was, as I started out saying, there are some good things that we have received from the Pharisees. They would go on for a while, but the Sadducees would doubt, die out rather quickly. And he says, Jesus says in verse 4 that they seek after a sign. And he knew that this was a phony request. He says, there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. So this event is also recorded in Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13, and Luke chapter 12, verses 54 and 56. So, well, what was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Well, when you read the Jonah document, we find that God came to the son of Amittai, and God said, go, preach to the people of Nineveh. And we read in the Hebrew that Jonah reared up. That is, he rebelled against what God had told him to do. He rebelled against the known will of God for his life. And so the prophet attempted to get away from God. And what is interesting is that Jonah should have known that Yahweh was not a localized regional pagan deity. But you see that his attempt to flee the presence of God, which is an extraordinary statement. He attempted to flee the presence of God. And he wanted to go to Spain, Tarshish. And so in the midst of that event, in the midst of the ocean, or I should say sea, the boat or ship that Jonah is on is battered relentlessly, and until he is cast overboard, and he is swallowed by a great fish. Why would it say whale? Bible says a great fish had been prepared by God. And there's a really interesting prayer in the book of Jonah. And so Jonah tried to flee the will of God, but he ran into the trap that he had set himself. And he was swallowed by this great fish. And he was there for a time. And then when he is released, he is where he should preach. And what a sight that was. So Jesus affirms the reality of the Jonah event. Again, this is not a fish, a whale. It was a great fish that God had prepared to swallow the prophet. The gifts and calling of God are not unto repentance. That God has called whosoever God chooses for a particular word must do the will of God. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. If God has called you for a particular ministry, then let me say, you must do it. A charge to keep I have, as the song, the old song goes, of God to glorify. And so Jesus was not going to buy into the hypocritical request of a sign. He knew what was going on here, and he told them that for these people that they did not have the critical faculty of discernment because they did not understand the time that their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, was indeed in their presence. The kingdom of God is in the myth, what was in the midst of them, and they missed it. So I want to turn from there, and I want to go to First Corinthians. And First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Verse 4, he writes, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing or persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So we see the wisdom of the Apostle Paul. Very, very powerful verses. And then he goes on to talk about the Spirit of God and true wisdom. And verse 11 of chapter 2, Paul writes, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit or the pneuma which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Amen. And so the scriptures that you and I have received, these living documents, are literally the breath of God. We read that they were imbued by God. Yes, it is true, we no longer have any autographs or original writings from the hands of the New Testament writers, but we do have over 5,000 manuscripts, lectionaries, and we have the writings of the church fathers, so that from whose writings we can virtually reproduce the New Testament documents. So these documents are indeed the breath of God, and therefore it is by His Spirit, His breath, that you and I are given the power to discern, that is, to understand spiritual phenomena. Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." Please read Ephesians 6, and Paul talks about the demonic world. Read Ephesians 6. Paul states there that you and I wrestle not against blood and flesh. We wrestle not against blood and flesh. And the language is telling you, we wrestle not. If you have a moment, read about the ancient Greek, or Google, the ancient Greek wrestling tournaments and what was involved. If you do that, you will see what Paul is speaking about. The term wrestle in that passage in Ephesians literally means to vibrate against, to vibrate against. Very interesting terms. And so he goes on here. "Now we have received not the spirit of the cosmos, but the spirit which is of God." That, purpose clause after the semicolon, "that we might collectively know the things that are freely given to us of God," or under God, literally. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man has been speaking, but which the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost, "teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." And so, through the Word, we have a new language. We have a new nomenclature. Through the Word of God. And we receive words taught by the Spirit. That is to separate and then arrange together spiritual phenomena. Pharisees do not have this ability. Now, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The word there here for natural is psychikos. It's psychikos. And the word here for natural is a what we call a qualitative adjective. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are, according to, in the Greek, it is moraia. They are moronic unto him. M-O-R-I-A, moraia. With the feminine case ending, the alpha at the end of the word. So, he goes on. They are foolishness, that is, spiritual phenomena are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, that is, understand the word of God, because they are spiritually discerned. And here the word means to be able to investigate spiritual phenomena. And it also means interrogation. Into spiritual reality. So, in verse 15, he goes on. In contrast to the psychika individual, we have just, Paul uses the adjective, just the adjective. He writes, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, that he himself is judged of no man. And so, the word here is pneumatikos, the word that's been translated as spiritual. And so the spiritual one judgeth all things. And so here's the essence of discernment. Here is the individual who is qualified to sift, to examine, and to decide rightly spiritual phenomena. His eye, they are, because the eyes of his heart are open. Read Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:18. And also, he is not blind. Ephesians 4:4. Then in verse 16, Paul states, For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, for we have the mind of Christ. We collectively have the mind of Christ. And so in this powerful portion of Scripture, Paul talks about the importance of understanding what the psychikos individual is, because he cannot understand the word of God. And he talks about the pneumatikos, the person who has the ability of spiritual discernment. Now, in the book of Jude, the small book of Jude, in Jude 19, there's only one chapter, so the 19th verse, let me start at verse 17. This is a Jude guy. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, or fake teachers. Please read James 3:5. Who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. And so in verse 19, the word that has been translated as sensual is psychikoi. Sufikoi are those who live psychological lives. It is the same word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 2:14. Paul talks about the psychikos, and Jude uses the plural psychikoi. They live from their mentality. Their lives are centered in the psychological, the sensual, the earthly. James talks about the kind of wisdom that these persons employ. This wisdom is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And so they live out from their own mentality, devoid of the Spirit of God, devoid of spiritual insight. Therefore, they have no spiritual discernment. On the other hand, there are the psychikoi, or I should say the pneumatikoi, who are the real spiritual ones, who do, and who do have the able, but do have the ability to discern spiritual phenomena. And so the psychological ones do not, that is, the psychikoi do not have that ability. 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. This is very important, because here is where we do our koinonia. It is where we hold your things in common with Christ. To receive of God, we must know the Word of God. We must be close and in tune to the Spirit of God, so that the Spirit of God can teach us the Word of God. And we can live out from the Word of God in this present age. Believers have a hope, a living hope, a blessed hope. We learn this through the Scripture. We learn this through the Word of God. And please understand that it is vitally necessary to have spiritual discernment in one's life, in one's heart. We live in a dark age, which is getting brighter and brighter. But for the believer, we read that our day is going brighter and brighter because we have a wonderful hope through the Word of God. And note something very important here, that in chapter 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, did not speak unto you as unto spiritual, that is, as unto pneumatikoi, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. And so he brings in another term here that has to do, he calls them the sarkinoi, the sarkinois. So we have the psychikoi, we have the natural ones, we have the pneumatikoi, the spiritual ones, and in 3:1, we have the a third group. Please read these verses when you have time. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.